Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
First reading is from Acts. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them into the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 97 responsively. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad.
Clouds and darkness surround the Lord, righteousness and justice are the foundations of God's throne.
Fire goes before the Lord, burning up enemies on every side.
Lightnings light up the world, the earth sees and trembles.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth.
The heavens declare the righteousness of the Lord, and all the people see your glory.
Confounded be all who worship carved images and delight in false gods. Bow down before the Lord, all you gods.
Zion hears and is glad, and the cities of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord.
For you are the Lord, most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
You who love the Lord and hate evil, God of hearts, lives, and saints, and rescues them from the hand of the wicked.
Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the honest of heart.
Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name.
The second reading is from Revelation. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let everyone who hears say, "Come," and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. It has been a rough week. On Tuesday, this nation witnessed yet another school mass shooting. Depending on how one counts this, this is the 20-somethingth mass shooting in a school this year. Over and over again, the nation experiences the crushing loss and grief of these events. Over and over again, the dance of rhetoric is played out again. The signs of polarization are writ large in moments like these. So many people have their talking points already lined up. On Wednesday, I attended a brainstorming session hosted by the task force of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, who has responsibility for studying and facilitating church-wide discernment in preparation for drafting a social statement on church and civic engagement. It truly was a listening session where those who attended had opportunity to name their hopes and their expectations for this social statement that is under development. Personally, as each of those present in my small group read off their lists of 4 and 5 and 6, well, 6 things they hoped to see in this statement, I felt kind of like a school child who had forgotten to do his homework, or who did not even understand that there was a homework assignment. Yet one pastor, a pastor who had an advanced degree in political science before going into ministry, noted that he has a deep hope that this church will be bold in seeking to be a place for dialogue that seeks to bridge and reduce the polarization. He noted that such polarization as this nation has been witnessing has historically led to the eventual breakdown of democracy in nations around the world.
In his words, I heard a call to be a gospel-centered community that dares to enter moral and deliberative dialogue. Too often, this church, the ELCA and local congregations, and this nation is witnessing the cost of the old dictum, don't talk about politics or religion or sex. To be sure, those three topics tend to energize the conversation in ways that can bring down decorum. Yet I wonder if the stridence that often is exhibited in those conversations, the inability to listen deeply and with care to those who hold a different point of view, the tendency to dismiss the other, is a symptom of the way that humanity embraces so many idolatries. It is so easy to see the idolatry in the other and be blind to one's own. I hear in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles a story about a young girl who is, well, being held against her will, who is identified as a slave, who makes a lot of money for her masters. To be sure, in that culture, if she were released, if she were freed, she wouldn't have much way to make any of a living for herself. And yet she follows Paul around for literally days. And as we hear it today, Paul's casting out that spirit of divination, as it is reported to us, is not for her own good, but is to abate his annoyance with her. But the effect was that Paul was flogged and jailed for disrupting the economic benefit for those masters. The authorities, the magistrates, the system was complicit in supporting the slavery and in confronting Paul and Silas. I found myself wondering what economic engines this nation, indeed this church, is unwilling to confront, either because of the potential economic disruption or the reaction and retribution by the authorities. As I listen to the stories of school children, as I listen and remember the Black community in Buffalo, as I confront the reality that this culture is addicted to violence and turns to such violence as a solution instead of seeking the space in between, I'm reminded that Ed Friedman often noted that litigation is the violence of the middle class. Listen to the harsh words exchanged, the name-calling, the vitriol. One does not need to brandish a gun in order to participate in the collective tendency toward violence. I confess that I fail often as my fatigue and as my fears and as my frustration build. I weary of conversations where there seems to be no valuable outcome or forward progress. The cost of continuing down this path, though, is dissolution of democracy, according to my colleague. The cost of this continuing pattern is more and more lives wrecked by death, by grief, by so many losses. In the midst of all this, the church hears Jesus pray. In fact, every year, the church hears Jesus pray for his disciples and those who follow, those first learners, those first followers. The last Sunday of Easter always is a time when Jesus is heard to pray for his disciples. It is not a call to uniformity. It is a call to unity. That disciples be one with one another, just as Jesus is one with God, the eternal parent. That unity is not just with one another, but is also with God in Jesus Christ. As one commentator called it, the church is called to a holy communion. Yes, literally, the lifeblood of faith is in gathering together around this table to feast with Christ. In receiving the body and blood of Jesus, the faithful become what they eat, the body and blood of Christ. Whatever differences there are, Holy Communion. Whatever disagreements people hold, Holy Communion. Whatever ways individuals struggle to honor the basic human dignity of others, Holy Communion. It is in the Eucharistic moment that divine relationship is worked. And yet, as each one leaves this communing on God's word, whether physically in the room, whether on Zoom, or later, participating by hearing the podcast, the call is to live into this holy communion. Frankly, that takes monumental work. Often it takes more energy than I believe I have to give. Too often, I just don't have words. But I do know the word. And so do you. Live in that word, Jesus, the Christ, and engage the difficult task of working for unity in the face of polarization and in the face of the despair that these times too easily evoke. Walk in unity with Jesus. Remember that Jesus is praying for you. Know the word, be Christ in and for the world. The world needs this unity. Now, more than ever.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.